I'm Max Reyes, and this is The Beacon. This week is Student Government Association elections. We brought The Beacon's Deputy Express Editor Chris Van Buskirk on to explain how the elections work and what they mean, both for SGA and for students. Chris, if you could, I wanted to ask you to explain what the SGA election process looks like.
When a person decides to run for SGA, the first thing they have to do is get a packet, and they have to get 50 signatures from 50 students and submit that to SGA. And that's how they become, you know, listed on the SGA ballot, whether it's for the fall elections, which are essentially SGA's midterms, you're electing class representatives and senators, or the spring elections, which are the executive races, which is like, you know, the main one is the SGA executive president.
And how many students actually participate in these elections? How many students actually vote?
Yeah, so let's kind of focus in on the spring election of last year when Christopher Henderson West ran a write-in campaign against Jessica Guida, a traditional ballot campaign. 7% of the undergraduate student population voted in the election. And what that turns out to be is 265 students of 3,799, just 7%.
And Henderson West's name wasn't even on the ballot, right?
No. So he was running a non-traditional writing campaign, and his whole campaign was actually aimed at increasing SGA's relevance on campus. He wanted to become a president that people knew. So his whole thing was going out to voters, talking with them, getting them to know his name so that by the time voting came around, they just wrote in his name. What ended up happening is Guida managed to draw in 146 votes, where Henderson West drew in 105. Again, that total is 251. So if you kind of compare the two, Guida's 146, Henderson West's 105, I mean, they're not that far off. It's about more or less a 40-vote difference. And it kind of speaks to SGA's visibility on campus.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is not many people actually pay attention to SGA. And because of that, not many people vote in the elections. Guida was a traditional balloted candidate. Her name was on the list. All you had to do was check her name, click vote. Where Henderson West, you had to write in. But their numbers, their votes, are fairly close.
And why do you think that's a problem that this body keeps having?
It kind of goes to what SGA really does. If you talk to an SGA representative, and I've talked to many in my past year and a quarter reporting on them, you know, they'll tell you that, you know, they're the representatives of the student bodies. They each have their different constituencies based on their grade level. But what they boil down to, at least what I've seen, what I've reported on, is they deal with organizations, whether that be their finances, whether that be approving them to be SGA recognized or not. That's kind of their main thing. And because of that, the only people that probably care are organization leaders, organization treasurers, people who are in organizations. It kind of excludes the rest of the student body in a sense.
And how much power does SGA have over the funding that goes into these organizations? How much responsibility is trusted into this group?
Let's take a video organization, for example. SGA controls their budget for the year. Of course, what happens is the organization will submit a yearly budget packet where they kind of list out the money that they need for the year. But at the end of the day, it's SGA who determines that number, you know? And of course, they have a whole list of priorities with which they cut the budget. It's not like they go willy-nilly just cutting the budget based on their opinions. You know, they do have a process. I'll give them that. But they do hold a lot of power over how much money organizations spend, how much money organizations get. And because of that, I think organizations pay more attention than the regular average student at the school.
So what you're saying is that there are sort of two gaps here. There's a gap between what SGA says it does and what it mainly does. And there's a gap between which students are paying attention and which students aren't.
I would tend to agree with that. And I do have to say, it's not like they're doing nothing for the constituents. That's not the truth. SGA has academic initiatives for each department, each major. And they field concerns from constituents, and they submit these academic initiatives to the department chair. So they are doing stuff for their constituents, for the students who pay attention. But like you said, there is a gap. What they mainly deal with, what their main source of power is dealing with organizations' budgets and their finances. And like you said, the people who pay attention to that, the people who care about that the most are people in organizations, are the leaders of organizations, are the treasurers of organizations.
And Chris, as we're recording this is the Friday before this semester's SGA elections. What are they shaping up to be like?
I've had a reporter talking to the SGA people this past week, and what she's found is that the members of the Student Government Association are kind of divided on the expected voter turnout. Like we talked about, like historically, it's been around 6 or 7% of the undergraduate student body. Executive President Jessica Guida, you know, is saying that she's hopeful that the voter turnout will slightly increase. But what that's saying is she's probably expecting it to stay around that 6 or 7%. If you go to, you know, the vice president, you have a completely different opinion. Executive Vice President Roz Moyad said that she is confident that voter turnout will increase to 10% this semester, which is a wild jump. I mean, you're going from 6 to 7% to an extra 3 to 4%. That's a couple hundred students. And what I will add to that is they've got evidence to kind of back up this jump. This past semester, if you've been going on Facebook, if you've been going on Twitter, Instagram, they've been using social media to promote themselves to the students. It's this whole new thing. Last year when I reported on them, their social media presence wasn't that great. This year, they've also been using, they've been live streaming every weekly Tuesday joint session meeting.
As a reporter, based on your analysis and your experience, which of those two executives do you agree with?
You know, that's a tough question. That's a tough question. Because they have been using social media to increase their presence. The way in which students vote, now they go to MConnect. That's an easy place for students to go. You know, I think I have to be a little conservative here and say that I, as a reporter, you know, based off the facts that I, you know, I've reported on for the past year and a half, I'm more expecting that 6 to 7%, maybe jumping up to 8%. I don't know if I have that grand vision of the 10% of 300 students, 340, 50 students. I just don't see it happening.
If I can ask, do you think there's a reason that students should even be voting in the first place? Does this matter enough that students should be concerned about it?
Well, that goes to kind of the whole thing about what SGA actually does. And what we talked about was that SGA, their main source of power comes from dealing with organization finances. What I would tell students is yes, this is important for them to pay attention to because they fund the money that SGA gives to organizations. They pay $836 every year. It's called the student activities fee. That's undergraduate students paying to fund SGA. And, you know, I find that if my money is being handled by somebody else, I want to pay attention to what they're doing with it. I want to pay attention to where they're allocating it. And I want to pay attention to the people that are running. So I would tell students that, yes, this is an important governmental body on campus. They do important stuff, and we need to pay attention to them. Because at the end of the day, we need to hold them accountable if they do something wrong. And I'm not saying that they have been doing something wrong. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, they're a governmental body. And we need to pay attention to what they're doing.
But you're also saying, if I can say this, that this isn't a governmental issue. This is a financial issue. And this is about financial accountability and also financial transparency. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, in my year and a quarter of reporting on them, of being the editor in charge of kind of managing the SGA reporting, they haven't done anything wrong. I've got to say that. They haven't mismanaged finances. But at the same time, if you don't pay attention to a governmental body, you don't know what's going on. I've talked to the executive treasurer for the past year and a quarter, and he's assured me that, you know, there are steps in place to make sure that money is never mismanaged, but that's a politician at the end of the day.
I know we already discussed what you think the outcome, or at least what the turnout of this coming election is going to be. Do you think it's ever going to change? Do you think students will ever actually engage with SGA in a level beyond 6 to 7% of people voting once a semester?
That's a great question. I really don't know. In January, I did this whole article that I went around and I asked the SGA people, how are you going to increase your visibility on campus? Because it is an issue that needs to be addressed. And what I got was Executive Vice President Romali at the time and Annie Mikelski saying that, you know, this is a recurring problem, a lack of student participation in general elections and meeting. And what Executive President Annie Mikelski said at the time last year, that this lack of participation results from both SGA's failure to reach out to students and minimal student interest. Mikelski at the time said she planned on meeting with the public relations chair to discuss a media campaign. She also wanted to advertise the general elections through student media before they occur. But the numbers speak for themselves last year. 6 to 7% in the executive races. 6 to 7%. In the fall races. This year, they've been trying to increase their social media outreach. Whether that actually works, whether that actually draws in voters, is yet to be seen. Do I want to make the wild prediction that it's going to jump to that 10%? I don't know. You know, I want to be safe and say it's probably going to be that 6 to 7%. That's probably what we're going to see.
What do you think can actually be done to move the needle on that, though? What do you think SGA can do that it hasn't been doing? Or do you think it's just the culture here and the atmosphere at Emerson when it comes to participating and student government elections.
I definitely think it has to do with the culture at Emerson. I just don't think students are interested because, you know, like we talked about, SGA's main source of power is finance for organizations, approving organizations. That doesn't really concern the regular student. So there's that. Students just don't care.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me in.
The Beacon is produced by Max Reyes and Gabby Morozowski. Our managing editor is Monica Davis, and our editor-in-chief is Shafak Patel. Our theme is My Bloody Beating Heart by Kitchen Romance.